Rebecca, we tape this, record this, and that's the method for the minutes. It's not the old, so we do modified written minutes, but it's, so anything you say is out there.
Okay.
So, let's see. I'm gonna go ahead and start the meeting. It is 1:02, so I call the meeting of the Garrity Fund Advisory Council to order. And the first business is on page 1 and 2. We have the minutes of the May 14, excuse me. How can we have the minutes of the May 14 meeting?
2015.
2015, you're right, I was gonna say, that's not even, yeah, okay. We have the minutes of May 14, 2015 there. Any questions or corrections or comments about the meeting?
I would move that they be approved.
Okay, we have a motion by Tom, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second, all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Like sign. Okay, now, before we go into item B, Russell, would you kind of like to give a general overview of the fund?
The purpose and kind of what, again, as we visited before, I know you took the place of Sandy, our previous member of the consumer representative. The Guarantee Fund was created many years ago in order to protect consumers that bought prepaid funeral contracts from licensed permit holders in case somehow the monies went missing.
Right.
This fund was created and paid for by the trust funded permit holders, $1 per contract, till it got to $1 million. Once it reached that threshold, we do not assess the industry until it goes below that. That fund is there, though, if for whatever reason somebody comes and we find a permit holder stole money, we're liable to get the money back for restitution with consumers. Okay? Did you happen to have any questions on your research? I know I gave you that. Any other? That's kind of the big picture while we're here.
No, I understand the big picture.
Okay. All right.
Well, and it's a little complicated still, though, for the average person. But, I mean, you know, you guys have been doing this for a long time, so I have not. So even though I have the brochure and that type of thing, it's still, for the average person, it is a lot to understand. I know that's
No, and the trust fund was the original fund, and then about 2 or 4 years ago, because I think two sessions ago, that they created an insurance funded guarantee fund, and so that in some of the reports you'll see the dollar contract is coming in on those, and that's why that fund is so much smaller, because it just started within the last 4 years. And Tom is the representative for the insurance side, so that sell insurance funded contracts, and Wallace is for the trust funded contracts.
Right.
And so as we go through this, any questions, feel free to ask. Don't be bashful. Particularly since you can't ask any questions, your second meeting, you can't ask any questions. No.
There's no wrong or
no wrong
questions.
No right.
Okay.
And I want you to be very comfortable.
Thank you.
I ask questions myself so many times. So. Okay, with that, why don't we go ahead and start. So, Jesse, you going to give an investment officer report?
Yes, sir. So, starting on page 3, 13, I'm going to recap the activity of the trust funded and insurance funded trust funds. So, basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through and tell you the ins and outs, provide a brief explanation, and if you have any questions, let me know. So like Russell or Stephanie mentioned, there's a trust funded and insurance funded. So the first section that I'm going to talk about is the trust funded section. And I'm going to cover the period of March 1st, 2015 through February 29, 2016. The trust fund is broken into two reconciliations. The first one covers a six-month period. The second one will cover the second six-month period. So if you well, start on page 3, this is a trust funded reconciliation for March 1st through August 31st, 2015. Everything on the, let me see, so everything to the left of the seized funds and restitution payable on your column
here,
everything to that left is considered the guarantee fund activity. So this is what we're here to focus on and talk the ins and outs about. Everything to the right about of that is a sub-county or separate. It's deposited in the guarantee fund account, but it relates to seized accounts, restitution owed, separate monies that we're collecting, and from maybe, for example, an illegal contract. We found a funeral home that didn't have a permit.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, we did an order, and we said, you need to pay restitution to the consumers and possibly a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So as we collect restitution from that, in, let's say, that funeral home, we're depositing into the prepaid funeral account for us to be able to manage it and administer.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get restitution, then we start forwarding those funds to the consumers. So, and again, everything to the right is, it's in there, but it's not true guarantee fund act, under the prepaid funeral guarantee. So the thing that you'll notice under the earnings column there, you'll have trustee fees. I'm going back to the left-hand side now?
Yes.
Okay. So there you have $98.24. That was the trustee fees that the fund incurred. It has to do, you know, again, the trust has some fees that they assess the fund. Underneath that is interest earned, and that's, you know, from the various CDs and so forth that we'll get down the next page here. Under the guarantee fund deposits, you'll notice that we collected $200 from DJ Turner. This goes back to a funeral home that sold some illegal contracts dating back to 94. There's an order where they're, you know, slowly paying. It came to the, it was referred to the AG's office. You know, it comes, that money trickles in, as I guess as he can pay. I mean, this is repaying back the guarantee fund. So
mm-hmm.
The guarantee fund back in the 90s paid the claim, right? So now we're getting restitution from that individual, and we're, you know, and that's where we're collecting that money. We're tracking it. The next three here is the ones with the number 7, 8, and 9 on the side. Those are actual claims that were made to the guarantee fund that Russell is going to discuss in detail down in just a little further down in the booklet. Okay.
Okay.
So these are entities, real quick, that had a permit, some illegal contracts, and claims came forward from consumers, and we looked over the documents, and we paid those funds out. And again, Russell will discuss that here in a little bit. Okay.
Okay.
So the page 4 and 5, so what I do is we reconcile these accounts every quarter at least, and we produce reports every quarter. The page 4 is for the quarter of March 1st and May 31st. And on there, I recap the balances in the various accounts. We have a trust balance with the safekeeping, the Texas Treasury safekeeping. We also have 3 CDs, and we have a money market account with Pilgrim. So what I'm doing here is saying the balance should be this, and it's made up of all these balances at the various institutions. To the right of there, I have the maturity dates. December 11th, for example, on First Bank at Childress, when I'm giving you the current rates and the accumulated interest. So you'll notice that I prepare it, and Stephanie reviews it and signs off on it. Okay. The next page, on page 5, is for July, the next quarter, and so forth. So the same thing happens here. I reconcile the activity, the ins and outs of the accounts. I produce this report. So these two pages, 4 and 5, correlate to page 3. Okay? Any questions so far? Okay. Then we'll go to page 6. This is the second half of the period we're covering here, September 1st through February 29th of this year. This is, again, the second half, and you'll see obviously the same format. 14 here on item number 14 with the $5,120. That's another claim that Russell will talk about. And it's also another permit that had a permit. Same permit. It's one of the same permits that we're going to, that was on the other page. And then DJ number 10 is DJ Turner, the same individual I talked to you about earlier, that he's paying restitution to us. So pages 7 and 8 are the quarters that match up to the 6-month period. And if you look at page 8, you'll notice that the ending balance will balance back to the total balance on page 6. So for example, the $1.2 million, $1,295,000 and so forth, will match to the account grand total on page 6, which is on the far right-hand side. So that's how I'm making sure that everything balances and takes and ties.
So on the, on the you say the CDs, as Jesse said, are at several banks, and so they rolled over, as you see on page 8, they rolled over. So did we go out for bid on those, or just ask the people to give us a rate?
Well, sir, we went out and did a bid, and then we included those banks, and they turned out to be the highest.
Okay.
Highest ones. Yes.
Yeah, once you establish a relationship, it's kind of easy. And if I remember right, when we went out for bid in the beginning, we didn't get a whole lot of,
right.
You know, nobody, banks right now, are, if they pay any interest at all, it's very low.
Right.
So,
yeah, some banks turned us down and said, well, we really don't want your money.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yes, so, correct.
And then the, what about Texas Treasury safekeeping? Anybody want to talk about what that is?
Oh.
What did you say?
Texas Treasury safekeeping. You say we got the money there. Can somebody?
That's the account that's at the comptroller, the Texas comptroller, and they invest it in overnight repos. Historically, all of the fund was there, and we started moving some of it out to try to get a little better rate of return. The original law required us to keep it in the Treasury, and then we changed the law to at least be able to do deposits in banks and savings accounts.
Is this, I know there's no silly questions. Are these restitutions and claims, does this represent all of them?
What page are you looking at?
I mean, in the comments.
Oh, okay.
It represents all of them for that period of time.
Okay.
And if you look, it shows you, like, he has the reference of, like, what's in the balance. Like,
uh-huh.
Right.
On page 3, number 1, it's the balance of everything that's in there. And then you have ins and outs.
Yes.
So we have to keep a reconciliation.
Yeah, I'm correlating it. I was just curious as to, is this an average amount? Or is it, do you see any increase? Or... I just want to know if that was
Timothy Gaffney. There's the one in there for Timothy Gaffney. That's the one that makes it go up and down because he's required to make a significant payment. I think it's at least annually, and then we have to turn around and try to distribute that. So the period of time that we hold that money.
But if you're referring to historically, is this a lot or not? The activity, from my perspective, has gone down.
Okay.
Many, many years ago, we had a lot more defalcations, a lot more activity, unfortunately. So this is more mature monitoring. I don't think there's a lot of new seizures that we have done.
That's what I was asking.
Okay.
That's good news.
That is good news. I mean, it does happen still, but there's not like a spike. This is to me less than historical.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
Jesse, are the CDs all within the FDIC insured amounts?
Yes, sir.
She might like to.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes. So one of the things $250,000 is the max, you know, FDIC coverage. So what we do is we make sure that they're under 250.
Mm-hmm.
As they start getting closer to 250, we'll get some a little bit out and put it back in the treasury safekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Or we all start, you know, it's up to the council if they want to do something else at that point. But yes, right now they're under 250. You'll notice those that they're all under 250. Safekeeping doesn't, you know, that doesn't apply there.
Right.
But yes, that's we make sure that we keep it under that, and they're all it's under styled properly. You know, you need the commissioner or deputy commissioner to sign off to do anything. So you know, there's two dual signatories requirements and so forth. So yes, and we get those statements. Periodically or monthly or quarterly, depending on when they issue those out, and I make sure I get
them. So do you have to switch banks all the time, or are they?
Well, what Commissioner was saying earlier is when they come up for renewal,
mm-hmm.
we'll go out there and we'll select, we do a bid process. So
mm-hmm.
we'll go out there and contact different banks,
mm-hmm.
see which one will give us the highest rate.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to move them last time because the actual banks that had them gave us the best rates. And like the commissioner said, I think it's we establish a relationship. You know, it's easy to say, okay, fine. You know, we'll renew it at the same rate, or we'll give you a little bit more, or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And then I compare it to other banks that we
you know, we don't have the funds there now. We'll make a recommendation at that point to keep them in there.
There are all the banks that we've got listed here are state banks. We regulate state banks, so it's obvious that we would do that. We would prefer not to put it in a national bank as an example. But if I remember right now, they were the high bidders in the beginning, and it's kind of logical that they would be. The rates are what I call market rates right now. It's not anything higher than normal or lower than normal. There's a big range. Some banks need the money, some banks don't. Mm-hmm. So.
And if you notice, to follow that up too, that historically, like Stephanie said, they were all in the safekeeping account, but if you notice, they were paying 0.2, mm-hmm. you know, 0.01. I mean, it was so
right.
low that there were some suggestions that we tried to go out to secure a little. And if you notice, it's still not 1%, but it's still more than
right.
what was at the safekeeping.
Okay. So we can move to page 9. Page 9 is where I reconcile the insurance funded guarantee fund. This one just started, I think, back in 2010, or the first deposits came in 2010. So this is the one where we're still collecting a dollar until we reach $1 million. So this is a whole year because the activity is a lot less, and it's easier to represent in one page here. So this covers, page 9 covers March 1st, 2015, through the end of February of this year. And you'll notice that under the guarantee fund deposits, that's actually the amounts, the assessments that we collected from insurance companies, dollar. So basically, any new contract that they sell for a calendar year, they're required to pay us pay a dollar.
Right.
And then once we get those funds, they're due March 1st. So once we get them, you know, we'll process them and send them over to the guarantee
mm-hmm.
fund here. So this represents the payment there. Now, this actually represents 2014 and 2015 because of the way that they're. You know, this is through the end of February, and
mm-hmm.
they're due March 1st. Some will prepay, and some will pay just a little bit after,
mm-hmm.
so it depends. But for 2014, just to give you an idea, we had total assessments collected.
15.
No, well, I'm going back to 2014,
oh, okay.
So I can give them a comparison.
Oh, okay.
So 2014, we collected $69,900.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, we collected $72,466. So about $70,000, right, in
mm-hmm.
average. But we collected about $3,000 more this 2015,
mm-hmm.
through
so
the
that's
end of 2015.
A reflection that the insurance are selling and it seems to be increasing still.
Right.
Okay.
And Jesse, before you go, I'll give you a little bit more background on that insurance.
Uh-huh.
People say, well, there is an insurance guarantee fund with the Department of Insurance, which is in case like your State Farm auto disappears,
mm-hmm.
you can work with them. This fund was created because we had a defalcation several years ago that we won't mention the name of the company, but now everyone probably knows that name, but it wasn't National Pre-Arranged Services, which caused, unfortunately, this fund to be created because previously we thought they were all going to be taken care of, but it came to light it will protect the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But if that insurance policy in that funeral home goes out, when they go to another funeral home, they didn't have the ability to collect more funds to get that prepaid honored.
Mm-hmm.
So this, even though we knock on wood, we haven't had any of those claims, that is what this additional guarantee fund is there to protect for those consumers that wrote contracts from that date forward.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then pages 10, 11, 12, and 13 are the four quarters that make up this summary here. Again, I'm recapping the interest earned for the period, trustee fees, and again, if you go back to page 13, the total value, book value of market value, will match the grand total that I'm reporting back in page 9. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on any? Anybody have any questions on the activity I just went over?
In this slide, as I noticed, as they get bigger, I guess there's some consideration. Should we take some of that and do the CDs too?
That's a different.
Oh, is that different?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just no. Okay. My.
Yes.
That's okay. Is that it, Jesse?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the report of the Guarantee Fund's activities and investment officer report for the period March 1, 2015, to February 29, 2016, as presented?
Move.
Okay.
Second.
First, second. second by Tom. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Like sign. Okay, that motion passed. We'll move to item C on page 14. Russell, I believe you're taking this.
Yes, sir. What I'm getting ready to discuss on C and D is some considerations to ratify claims that have previously been paid. And I would like to step back. Previously, the guaranteed fund has given authority for the department to process certain claims under a certain limit. And I think it's been two or three meetings ago, you suggested the claim limitation is 6,500. So what that was is anything under 6,500, as long as we got all the paperwork and documentation in lieu of holding up the claim to consumers, we could process those claims out of the guarantee fund. Mm-hmm. And shortly I'll be talking about five of those claims because each one was under that 6,500 threshold. If it exceeds that threshold, we do not have the authority. We would have to get approval from the committee before we pay those particular claims over that amount.
Okay.
Again, historically, I haven't had one in the last 2 to 3 years that had exceeded that particular one. So.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you had asked earlier, it's fortunate what I'm getting ready to talk about on C relates to claims to ratify on Tom G. Walker Funeral Home out of Coleman. This is not a new seizure. It is unfortunately an old seizure that ultimately bubbles up. And what I mean by that is we think things have been resolved. We think we've paid out all the claims. We've done our press release and nothing happens for a while. But then all of a sudden a consumer shows up and saying, hey, I have a prepaid funeral contract with this particular funeral home, but the money's not there. So then we have to research it again to ensure that consumer did not have a particular contract. We make sure that they had a permit, and then we had to process those claims. So good news is the two I'm going to talk about are old seizures that happened many, many years ago. Okay, with that, let's go ahead and turn to page 14. Page 14 will relate to Tom G. Walker Funeral Home. And then, as I indicated, these are previous seizures that has occurred on this particular funeral home. Tom G. Walker, years ago, actually was bought out by another funeral home. And that funeral home, when they acquired it, did not agree to honor, which I don't blame them, anything that wasn't previously identified. So they took the liability on those particular contracts when they got that funeral home, but if anything else showed up, they weren't going to honor them. Well, this particular funeral home, as indicated on 14, was North Texas Funeral Home, which subsequently turned around and sold it to another person, Alcorn Funeral Home. Same thing, they're not going to take any liability for any previously not disclosed contracts. So that's what this is going to pertain to beginning on page 14. Now we'll flip to, this is going to be two claims related to page 14, and you can go to page 15, which we summarize the dollar amounts that we have verified that should be refunded and or paid to the funeral home if they can provide documentation they honored the contract. So this particular memo to the commissioner outlines those, particular facts. So we make sure that we outline all those facts. We then will include all the documentation. So this one shows you a mini bray and amount paid and the net claim, and also a Billy Dixon, again, amount paid $4,500. And so the total is $8,328, which will tie to that footnote on page 3, where Jesse talked about a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Within that, if you keep flipping for the backup to that those claims, you have page 16, which is our request that has to be authorized by myself and Stephanie to request those monies to come out of the guarantee fund, which is an $8,000 amount. Again, this is our administrator Becky's documentation to the funeral home that has requested it, showing here's your enclosed check for that amount.
Mm-hmm.
Page 18 will be the particular Alcorn requesting that reimbursement for those consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and again, as I go, if you have any particular questions, let me know.
Okay.
That's page 18. Now page 19 will be the actual contract
mm-hmm.
that the funeral home provided to support his claim, that this was a pre-need written many years ago. And as you see on our particular contracts, they have a permit number on the top right-hand corner and the name. That permit holder is real critical, because that demonstrate that they had a permit at the time the contract was sold,
right,
and we do verify that. That will show the goods and services on page one, on that page 19. Then page 20 will be the part two of the prepaid funeral contract, which indicates the total contract price. And also on the bottom of that, it also shows the funeral home saying one payment for prepaid for that amount. And then on page 21 will be the signatures of the funeral home Mr. Walker signed and the consumer has signed. Again, that's still all part of the prepaid funeral contract. And then on page 22 is the actual receipt that they found back in 2012 to support that dollar amount with the prepaid, indicating paid in full in the pre-need funeral contract. Okay? Now, the same claim, if you keep going on page 23, will be Alcorn's funeral home, what they call the at-need, to show the person died and they honored the prepaid funeral contract with this at-need or called funeral purchase agreement. This is upon death. Okay? Again, indicating they gave full credit for the Walker pre-need on the bottom right-hand side. And that will be the first claim.
What's the due from family?
Due from family, you can always add things at the time of death. Pre-needs
okay.
don't normally cover everything.
Right.
You can have opening and closing.
So it's something they've added, the family.
That is correct. Okay. So they have to specifically address those on the at-need, what was bought and such. So they can charge for those additional
right.
items. Okay, now that would be the first claim for many. Again, page 24 will be the second claim for that first one. Again, very similar documentation, Alcorn Funeral Home asking, showing the $4,500 that was paid previously by this individual. Page 25, again, is a prepaid funeral contract, first page, for Billy Dixon, showing the goods and services.
There's no number.
The permit number? That's a contract number. See.
No.
The permit. Now, sometimes that's probably why they put it in a different drawer and stuck the money. Because unfortunately, the way these can be sold, and
yeah.
even if they have a permit, the majority will take an at-need form.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the consumer sees a place date of death, they'll scratch it out and they'll write pre-need, and people will buy a pre-need with the wrong form even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That does happen. Or they'll write it on a good form and just keep the money.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different ways to, unfortunately, keep people's funds.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is the correct form and is the permit number, but you're correct. They didn't issue a contract number.
They don't have a registered number.
Yep.
So when they register the contract, there's no number, so it's not in their register.
Right, but that's not, you should do that, though.
That's correct.
Right.
That's what it's indicating why it's another a sign of stealing the money, because if they would have done it correctly, you would have had a contract number because you would keep track of the historical register
exactly.
that indicates the contract numbers.
Right.
It's just another flag.
Yeah.
So page 25 is the first page for Billy Dixon. Page 26 is the continuation of that contract, where it shows Tom Walker signed that contract. Page 27, again, is the at-need to show that Alcorn Funeral Home serviced a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And gave credit on the bottom right-hand side where it says Walker pre-need, so they at least gave the full amount of what he was asking for. And then there's a receipt on page 28, top right-hand side, top left-hand side, and it's showing the $4,500 that was previously paid. And there's two receipts here because a husband and wife bought it at the same time, and there's documentation to show that was two different receipts for two different contracts, but we're only requesting the Billy at this time.
Right.
Okay. Now that will complete the claims on that particular one. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Then we move on to page 29, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Go ahead. Now, page 29 is still a continuation. Again, this is dated July 21st, 2015. And it's going to be another claim request from Alcorn Funeral Home, if you notice on page 30. And this one will footnote to page 3 also for $1,260. It's a very similar situation as I talked about already. Page 31 will show Regina writing and enclosing a check for the 13 after we verified and reviewed everything. Again, this is on page 32, is the actual 1260 that we requested for withdrawal from the fund. Alcorn on page 33 again is asking for Sue Stevenson reimbursement because it unfortunately wasn't done correctly again. And as you notice, a theme here on page 34 on the top right hand, do you see that? No contract number again. So it's a good way to keep track of the illegal ones for him. You know, if you don't have a number, you keep it in a separate drawer. And fortunately, these did not materialize for whatever reason when we seized it initially. But that will show a prepaid basic for $1,400 on page 34. On page 35 is a continuation of Tom Walker's signature and the purchaser's signature. And in fact, that one's even easier because it clearly says on that page there was one payment, $1,400, and Tom Walker indicated it was paid in full on that particular contract. And then on page 36 is another at-need generated from Alcorn Funeral Home to show how he gave Walker pre-need credit for the $1,400 upon death. That it will complete those particular claims related to, and now it gets really confusing, that's Tom Walker. In a minute I'll talk about Walker Mora. The name Walker is consistent here, but this one has to do with Tom Walker Funeral Home under C, and I think we need to go back. Was there any questions related to that the documentation that we just went over on C, on Tom G. Walker Funeral Home claims?
So is there a motion to ratify the claims related to Tom G. Walker as discussed by Mr. Russell?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Sorry. This is probably going to sound crazy. So why are we ratifying something that's already been... Have you not already paid those? Why are we doing this again? Why are we revisiting it, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Previously, remember the $6,500 mm-hmm. limit, the $6,500 and before, below... The department has been granted authority from your predecessor and other ones to pay those claims,
right,
as long as we document the files and has everything. You're correct. That is ratifying it. It's not, we're asking not to deny it, but we're asking to ratify it, or if you had any particular questions related to the documentation being presented to support that.
Okay, so nothing's changed. We're just revisiting it.
Just ratifying it.
No, yeah, you've never seen them.
Right.
So we have to present them to you, and you have to ratify that the documentation that we got was correct. And if you disagree with the documentation, we would have to go back and try to get extra documentation to substantiate the claim.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Is there a motion?
Move that we ratify the claims for Tom G. Walker.
Motion by Tom.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now you go to the Walker Mora.
Walker Mora Funeral Home, we'll start on page 37. Unfortunately, we have a theme here. It's consistent. This is another previous seizure many years ago when they actually had a permit. This particular block, though, was also awarded to a different funeral home at the time. But again, contracts pop up later on that we were not made aware of, and as long as the documentation that we're going over is sufficient, we will authorize that claim. Okay? This, again, on page 37, was another, like I said, Walker Mora Funeral Home. It has one claim on this one related to Conception, I'm not pronouncing it, Martinez, and it shows you $3,900 that on the claim request. On page 38, again, I can go into detail, but it's a really old seizure that has been unfortunately talked about several times in the past. Similar to the other one, we took over the records, they did something wrong, they absconded with funds, and we took actions many years ago.
And so you're telling me this again like you did the last time.
Exactly, but it's a different funeral home.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a different funeral home, and this is the protocols in place.
Right.
Now again, as Stephanie indicated, if this was $6,800 or anything that the commission didn't approve, the committee, we would not be able to pay it at all until we had a meeting.
So is there disciplinary action that takes place? I mean, is this negligence?
Correct. Previously, there was action taken against these funeral homes.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we mentioned, Tom Walker, unfortunately passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife, unfortunately, we didn't hold her accountable
right.
for his actions. Then it was sold. Normal protocol is, yes, we, if that person or individual, we will go after to hold them accountable. We'll have an administrative hearing if we can't collect fines and penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have some discussions on previous ones later on in the book to
okay.
show you kind of how we
okay.
deal with some of those other ones.
Jump ahead.
That's fine.
Well,
no problem.
Yeah, I think it would make more sense to you. You know that column we had that was restitution?
Uh-huh.
A lot of times if something extra comes in like this,
mm-hmm.
we would go back, we'd pay the claim, and then we'd go back to that funeral home and say, okay, here's another one that wasn't in the original order that we had against you, and you paid a fine on the first one, and you paid restitution. Now, here's another one you've got to pay a fine on and restitution on. But in the, both of these funeral homes, if the documentation on the first one, the guy died, and then his estate had no funds, and I think then his wife died. So there is no one to try to go collect this against.
Mm-hmm.
And on the second one, they never paid everything they owed anyway. And so legally, we're bound to send it to the Attorney General's office for collection.
Mm-hmm.
And the Attorney General's office wrote it off as uncollectible. So there is really no need for us to try to go against this person again because
right.
the AG's already written off the first one, and we had to pay for that research and that work on their behalf, the AGs that they did for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just not prudent to take it again. If we, they're not, we know we're not going to get any money out of it.
And for that, go back to 37, and I'll show you how old this is
mm-hmm.
right here.
Mm-hmm.
On 37, we're back in 2010, as Stephanie alluded to, there was a final order issued.
Mm-hmm.
The AG has deemed it uncollectible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's now six, seven, I mean, it's pretty old,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately. But again, I am always amazed that after six, 7 years, we got people still showing up with a prepaid that they didn't know about. That
so
really
it's absorbed how?
At this
I
time?
I mean, if it's uncollectible.
Then that, the guarantee fund paid it.
That's
what
oh.
the fund is for.
Yes, yeah, that's
what
you're hearing.
That's
yes.
what the fund is for.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, and then 38 will be the check that was issued on 3900 request. That we withdrew. 3,900, similar documentation showing the including of the check of $3,900. This is the actual prepaid on page 40 of the Walker Moore Funeral Home. Okay, some of these old contracts are kind of hard to make copies of too. Page 41 is the continuation of that prepaid funeral contract back in 2005 that was executed. And page 42 is actual documentation the consumer had to support receipts that were given by the funeral home when they gave money for the payments. As you notice, a lot of them will say pre-need, pre-need, pre-need. Then we have page 43 is more receipts. Page 44, more receipts for the prepaid funeral contract. Page 45, some more receipts. 46, 47. Wow. We got a lot of receipts here. And page 48 is the last of the receipts related to the consumer's documentation to support the payments being made to the funeral home. Page 49 will show where the person actually passed away, death certificate. Do you have any questions related to that one? Okay, any questions? Because now page 50 will start that second, again, same funeral home we're having a claim, but a different person again. No?
Mm-hmm.
Now this one will show who Martinez. Net claim was $5,120, which again correlates to page 6 of the footnote that Jesse recaps. So that dollar amount is reflected on page 6. Again, same seizure, Walker Moore. Unfortunately, contract was not presented at the time of the previous seizure. 51, it shows the 5120 request to be withdrawn from the trust. 52 will show Administrator Becky showing the correspondence and the department has closed the check to Maria. And then this on page 53 will show Maria, pay to the order Maria, 5120, the actual check. And on 54 is the actual contract presented from Walker Moore Funeral Home to show the prepaid funeral contract being entered into. And it, continues on 55. Some of this, I apologize, but we get limited copies and such sometimes, and the correspondence is a little bit hard to recreate, and so sometimes it's a little bit difficult to read. Mm-hmm. But page 55 is a continuation, which you'll see the signatures, but it's kind of turned as far as the documents and how we received it. And then 56, it will demonstrate the receipts from the consumer showing payment to the funeral home on pre-need. And that, again, is the documentation presented. And do you have any questions, or anybody have any questions for the backup to support those particular claims specifically identified on D? Do I have any questions?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I move they be accepted and approved.
There's a motion by Tom. Second by Wallace. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, now we'll go to item E. Jesse, you going to do that?
Yes, sir. Okay, so on pages, starting with page 57 through that section there, E, I'm going to talk about the administrative memorandum. So there's a investment policy over the administrators, the funds that we have in the over the prepaid funeral guarantee. We review it annually at least to see if there's anything that we need to revise. And although we're not subject to the Public Funds Investment Act that regulates, you know, the public funds and so forth, we try to mirror it as much as we can. And what we did this time, basically, there's a few minor changes, but obviously the dates on page 57, first of all, to talk about today's meeting and so forth. And we have the first part is a red line version, and then we have a final version towards the end of this section. But one of the ones that I wanted, one of the major changes here was page on page 58. So this previously was on page 6 of the memo, which is page 62 of this booklet. And all we really did, we felt that it was a better place if it was in this page 2 of the memo. So we basically took it from page 6, put it up here. And we also made some changes to mirror the actual statute that talks about this, where the funds can be deposited. So what we did here was again, mirror the statute, which says you can deposit the funds with the comptroller, with a bank, federally insured bank, or with a trust institution. So we made those changes, and you can see the red lines changes from on page 6, how it read before and how it reads now. Before, it wasn't as we felt as clear as it should be, and we made those revisions there. And then on page 3, we just did a formatting change. It was just a bullet point. It should have been a bullet point, and it was actually indented a little bit more, so we just made that change there. And that's all the changes we made. And those are recommendations that we have to the council. And on starting on page 65, that's the final, well, the final draft version, how it would read if it's approved.
And Jesse, I'll just add that after every session, we go back and look at any bills that have passed related to the Public Funds Investment Act, and there weren't any passed in the last session that required us to make any changes specific to changes in that act. So these changes were just all internal changes.
Right. Any questions on any changes we made, I guess, for revisions?
Yes, you really didn't change anything.
No.
You just moved it.
Right, we moved it and
we clarified.
Right,
clarified.
The old, we didn't say that has its main office or branch in this state.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The law said that, but our policy, it said a commercial bank, and we've never done it out of state. But our attorneys thought we should really mirror and say it exactly like the statute is.
Correct.
And it really does fit up here better. I'm not sure why we had it after training originally.
Right. Right.
questions? Do I hear a motion that we approve the administrative memorandum as revised, number administrative memorandum dated 2016, 5/14/2016. Any motion?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second? Well, it's all in favor say yay. Any opposed? Like sign. Motion carries. Okay, now we'll go to item F, discussion of investment strategies.
Right.
So that's on 57.
I can start it and you can. What Jesse and I thought of, we sort of looked at this, and because the insurance funded guarantee fund, and Jesse was going back to the page, it's over 300,000 now, is that what we think we will do, and just wanted to see if y'all thought this was a good idea, 368,000. What Jesse and I were thinking about doing is actually going out and calling some banks and to get bids on CDs, because we have such a large amount in here now. We could take 240 out and put it in a CD somewhere, make a little bit more money, and still have enough in here if there is a claim. I mean, your fear is you don't want to have it all in CDs, because then if you have a claim, you have a penalty. I guess it's not very much on a CD now because the rates are so low. But that's what we were thinking we were going to do with over the next month, is start moving some of that out and put it in a CD and make y'all a little bit more money, so maybe your dollar contract will go away sooner.
So we've not had any claims during that period from NPS as a result?
You can't make a claim on NPS because you can only make a claim for contracts sold after it was established.
Oh, you're right.
And NPS was...
Correct.
The law
Correct.
Changed because of NPS.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Good. I guess. Although it's not good for the consumer. But.
Yeah. You know, that was in the legislation, that was one of the discussions. But
yeah.
The amount was just going to be so large.
Yeah.
It was going to be hard for anybody to take that hit.
And to that point, the consumers really are not taking the hit on that. It's the funeral homes.
Yeah, that's true.
See, the funeral homes sold this product that unfortunately this situation happened, and they're not getting any growth to honor prepaid, and that's kind of how prepaid works. You sell it today, you're supposed to earn interest to offset your cost. All these particular insurance funded by this insurance company, they'll pay in dollar for dollar, but no growth, and that makes it tough on the funeral homes to honor.
So they only have those options? They don't have any other options to invest that?
No, based on that particular National Pre-Arranged Service contracts only, they went through the courts, and the courts awarded to another company, and the company had a pool of funds from the guarantee fund just to pay what the policy would. So
not our guarantee fund.
Not our guarantee fund. It was an insurance guarantee fund, which luckily at one time they might not have honored that, and the funeral homes were going to get 10 cents on the dollar to honor these prepaids. Fortunately, in Texas at least, they're getting their dollars that they paid in, but they don't get any enhanced growth, and the insurance company didn't take it on that agreement to pay growth. So the funeral homes that are honoring these are the ones taking it on the chin to honor them.
So there's no voting item on that, Commissioner.
Any thoughts or any questions about that? Seems like a reasonable thing to do.
I think it's, yes.
Well, I agree. The total of the funds was
368.
368. So you would take 240. That would leave 128.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start looking. Yeah. We'll see how many people will turn us down this time.
Yeah.
Just as a few more to rack there.
Another
yes. Okay. Now we turn to item G, pages 73, 77. Who's looking there?
I'll take it, sir. Now, this kind of on G, we'll start on page 73. Again, to me, there's no voting on this, but we like to advise you of previous seizures, some actions that they were taking, and also let you know what restitution we have and haven't collected, and we kind of give you an update. That will start on page 73. And you alluded to it earlier, what kind of penalty, what happens.
Mm-hmm.
This would kind of give you some information on the penalties being previously assessed from some of these wrongdoers. For Turner Brothers, Jesse mentioned earlier that TJ was paying sporadically. Well, that was even way before my time, but my understanding, they entered into a court agreement, mm-hmm. and the court worked out the payment plans to pay restitution. And they'll probably be paying way after I'm here, but as you can see, that will reflect the years he started paying back the restitution back in 1996 forward. We just brought up 1996 with 46,000 because he still has a way to go. He still has 41,000 left to pay.
So that's a total of claims?
No, that is what he's.
No,
excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no,
you're correct. You're correct.
Yes.
You're, I'm sorry.
He's
previously.
$102,700
years
worth of money that he took that wasn't his.
Right.
And then I think there must have been 46,000 in an account somewhere because he didn't pay that much money. And so he seized an account and got 46, and then he's paid this restitution over time. But he actually went to jail, and so it was the court at the jail that set his restitution at this small amount. So when you – and Jesse was talking, and he said, okay, D.J. Turner paid $200 because the guarantee fund paid out, you know, $102,000 and has been being paid back over time. And it doesn't have to get paid back, but that's what we try to do in our orders is to reimburse the guarantee fund.
This is probably silly too, but do you have the jurisdiction to not represent these people? Or do all funeral homes have to be represented by the guarantee?
Or if you're asking, they can come to us to get a permit to sell prepaid funeral contracts. The majority of them do not have a permit.
Really?
Well, no, majority of them selling what we call insurance-funded mm-hmm. products through a third-party insurance. Mm-hmm. No one, A, has to sell prepaid.
Mm-hmm.
They have the option to sell prepaid through a trust mm-hmm. permit or an insurance permit.
But there is no charge. There is no choice. Everything is covered by one of these two guarantee funds.
Right.
If you buy a prepaid funeral contract today, it is covered by one of these two funds.
Okay.
I mean, you don't have a choice.
If somebody has this much stuff going on, I mean, doesn't it come to a point where, is this normal?
No, again, remember, this is 15, 20 years ago. I mean, this action was taken in 1994.
Right.
That's a long time ago, but we're required to keep up with it for a long time.
Right.
So this is not a new action, but it's an ongoing activity that we're just letting
with
you know.
This particular
funeral home, that's correct.
Well, I'm just wondering why it continues to go on. I mean, is it oversight, or is this something that's been...
I guess I don't understand.
I guess what I'm saying is you're paying restitution.
He's paying restitution.
The guarantee fund?
D.J. Turner's paying restitution back to us to reimburse the guarantee fund.
Right, but
so
is this all his behavior? I know you're getting reimbursed, but he's being...
This is him paying the restitution. So like that $102,000 up at the top, that's how much he ripped off and how much he owes people.
Right.
And so these are the payments he's making toward that amount, and he's making the payments to us.
Right.
So those aren't connected to claims.
Mm-hmm.
The claims probably
are already
long
all
since processed.
1994.
Well, I understand that. I guess I'm not making sense. Is this, I don't know how to word my question. I'm sorry.
Well, if you do later on, please give me a call, and if it comes to you different, then I'll be glad to work with you and talk to you. And
I guess
I'm
just saying, is he on your radar all the time? I mean, is this something that he's always paying back, or is this a consistent behavior
again,
for his company?
Yes, he was.
He's
like
out of business.
He's out of business.
He went to jail.
He went to jail.
Oh, that's all I wanted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, this gentleman, he went to jail.
Yeah, I wish he was out now. But
that answers my question.
Okay.
But no, we monitor all of these every month. We get a list of who owes money and who becomes delinquent because, like I said earlier, by law, if they become delinquent, then we have to refer it to the Attorney General's Office for collections. And our attorneys send out collection letters themselves.
Right.
While we try to get the funds back for the guarantee fund.
And chances are any individual like this would never get a permit to write for any contract.
Yeah.
The only way he's going to do is if he was riding without a permit.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to get him again.
Yeah.
Correct.
But there are bad actors out there
still.
Yeah.
And that's what the guarantee fund's for.
And that's what it's for.
Yeah.
So this could happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that might help if an existing funeral home is approached with a contract that, say they've taken over someone else that's not valid, does that funeral home normally conduct the the funeral, assume the charge, and then give it to the department to pay, or the fund to pay, or do they try to get pre-authorization, so to speak?
What we try to do as an insurance company, and if it's one of our contracts, and the law says that we have to go to three different funeral homes within 25 mile radius to see if they will take the contract. And what we try to do is to get them to take the amount of the contract for the amount of the pre-need contract. Now, some of them have gotten smart, and they all won't do that anymore. So, for example, if it's a $5,000 contract, and they say, "Well, I've looked at that. I can't furnish that merchandise and services for those amounts. I'll do that contract for $6,000." Then, our policy will pay the five. The six goes to the pre-guarantee fund. And the guarantee fund could make up the difference for the customer.
That's correct. That's where y'all would have to approve that above and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we have to apply for that, for the customer.
Correct.
And I think historically on a trust, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but if someone brought in a contract to you that another funeral home that didn't have a permit had written, mm-hmm. and they want you to honor it, you would call us to say, okay, how much can I get for this before I decide what I can provide the family? Because almost every case, it's almost case by case, because did that company have a permit and is it out of business? Right. I mean, there's just lots of...
The older the contracts get, the harder it is for a funeral home to decide that they want to honor it because, of course, the inflation in the prices.
Right.
And a lot of the trust ones, they if another funeral home writes a trust, and this family moves to another town, a lot of times that trust doesn't transfer only the principal amount, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make a decision whether you're going to honor that or give them credit for it, how are you going to work it.
Yeah. Well, and that's precisely why I tell you it's very, me explaining this to the hotline people that call me, it's very complicated, you know, to the average person to really understand that.
And you have we have a prepaid website.
Oh, yeah.
Have you found that?
Oh, yeah.
Funding? Okay.
That's the first
okay.
thing
you have to understand.
Okay, okay.
You have to understand also that the prepaid contract is actually between the funeral home and the customer, or in our case, our permit holder. But only that funeral home has agreed to honor that contract,
right.
No one else. So if a person takes a contract to another funeral home, then that other funeral home doesn't have to honor that contract.
If it's insured, we would make a phone call to the company and say, is this all transferable?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, more often than not, you're going to accept it because it's going to be close to what you do.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's a really old one, you know, most funeral homes are accepting the contracts mm-hmm. now. We've run across two or three, though, that haven't,
or that maybe they just can't afford to.
Right.
Yeah, it's understandable if there's an old contract, they can't provide the merchandise and services. Then why should they take a hit?
Mm-hmm.
And
but most of them will, just because of competition in the area or goodwill in the area, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them can't afford to do that.
So you're talking about a contract that someone has taken and they've lived a long life, and so the funeral home can't afford the goods and services anymore.
Not the original.
The original
funeral
plan.
Home, not the original funeral home. The original funeral home has to honor that.
Right.
Period.
They have
period.
To.
Period.
They have a choice.
Contract.
Yes.
Yes.
Period. Yeah.
Period.
And then, so why would it be the consumer's problem if they happen to outlive that financially? I mean, you know what I'm
it's
saying?
Not.
It's not now.
It's not their problem.
Because with the guarantee association, the guarantee association will make up the difference.
But it's not
That's
their problem. If you go back to the original funeral home that you bought it at, it is never your problem.
Right.
What they're talking about is that when you move from Houston to Dallas and you go to a funeral home in Dallas and say, okay, I want this funeral home over here to honor the contract, that funeral home is under no obligation. If you wanted to go back to Houston, that funeral home would have to.
Yeah.
And to one last thing. So you're in McKinney. Anytime you want to come by the office and discuss this, I'd be glad to do that.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I really would.
Yeah, and I can kind of show you how actual claims work and that sort of thing. Get somebody to do that for you.
It'd be an honor for me to do that. Thank you.
And the other piece of the, unfortunately, the last few years I've found more and more, you have to remember too, we have, let's say Dallas is a big city. They go to a funeral home, their prices are really low. They go down the street, they want that funeral home to honor it, but they can't because their pricing is totally different. Mm-hmm. That's why it's very difficult to get that other one to honor it. Because mm-hmm. your funeral home has prices, that funeral home has prices.
Oh, I've seen several when we did the class.
But to focus on prepaid, mm-hmm. the original funeral home, 5, 10, 50 years later, is still obligated to honor the contract period.
Gotcha.
Okay. That was TJ Turner. This next one, Kevin Keeney, that's been here for several years now, and Assistant General Counsel Dan Wood, unfortunately, probably wants this to go away, mm-hmm. but he helped work on this case, and that's why I'm going to have him to give a little more history, again, what happened, where we're at on that process.
Okay, sure. So we got some consumer complaints. That's how this usually starts. And then we issue a cease and desist order, and we go in and we seize all of the records and sometimes also the funds. And when we did that in this case, we found that Mr. Keeney had not been, well, he hadn't been doing anything consistently. He hadn't even been ripping people off consistently. So there were folks who had receipts but no contract, or contract that wasn't signed, or he would deposit some of the money but not all of it, or he would deposit it and then withdraw it and put it into his operating account. And it was a massive mess. In the end, we sort of referred it to the San Saba County District Attorney's Office for criminal prosecution in the hopes that they would have more resources, particularly on collection. That didn't really pan out the way we had hoped, but there was a settlement in the criminal case that also ordered him to pay restitution. But for some reason, there were a number of contracts that got left out of that case. So we had to additionally have an administrative action. We got an agreed order, which is just they sign it, we sign it, and then the commissioner issues it. So all the parties have agreed. It's like a settlement to a lawsuit, sort of the equivalent. Mr. Keeney agreed to pay the full amount of restitution as we calculated it, plus a penalty. Because he had limited funds, we agreed to basically a 10-year payment plan, which he's in the middle of paying right now. As an aside, the court order required, for the criminal side, required him to pay, I think, about $1,300 a month, which is something like $1,000 toward restitution and $300-something toward court costs, probation costs, and all of that. For our administrative purposes, to avoid running afoul of us, he just needed to pay a total of $12,000 a year toward the restitution. We didn't care how often he paid, as long as each year he's met that goal. He has never come close to meeting that goal. He has never even come close to meeting the court-ordered requirement. So we actually tried contacting them to get him thrown in jail because he's violating his court order, but their attitude was essentially he's paying some, and as long as he's paying, it makes more sense to let him keep paying than to throw him in jail and stop him from paying entirely. So that's why these numbers on this list are not exactly consistent. But this is, he has been making almost monthly something since 2014. We'll be here forever.
But again, that I appreciate that. Just to show you, you alluded earlier, there is fines, there's consequences for these actions that we try to make them pay. And he was assessed.
What's happening with this guy?
That's what shows you.
But he's still in business.
Oh, and I should
no.
No,
he's
no,
not.
He's
not.
No,
oh, good,
no, no. He's
okay.
out of business.
He's out of business.
Yes.
He owns a couple of other laundromat and a car wash, I think, in town. So he has some income, but he's out of the funeral business. He sold the funeral home, right?
Yes, yes.
And so the people that he ripped off, we bid those contracts out to the company that bought the funeral home.
Correct. So the consumers have been fully protected. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting the prepaid that the new owner had agreed to honor them for the amount that they received.
Wow.
Yes. It didn't always work out that way, but this one did work where the consumers
will get. That total amount is what he owes and what the guarantee you guys paid out?
Well, this case was special, right?
Right. We didn't have, we haven't paid it out.
Yeah.
We actually had a bunch of seizure money that went toward it as well. And so that changed the amount.
There was enough money that we seized. He had a permit, so the permit had money in it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have enough money, but it had also principal and what we call earnings over the years,
mm-hmm.
that we allowed the earnings to go to restitution.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put all the pool of funds together, it was sufficient to get back to the 90% level, which generally you can't honor the contract,
mm-hmm.
but the successor funeral home agreed to honor it at those prices.
But the order says whenever we collect money, they get it. So this one, it's
right.
not going back to the guarantee fund. This goes
go
to the subsequent.
Right, because the guarantee fund didn't have to actually pay
a penny on that one. That is correct.
That
will go toward the
funeral
home, successor funeral home's
yeah.
earnings, hopefully, if we ever collected it. Okay. And I won't, that's a similar theme on these other pages. 74 is the same thing. We had another funeral home, Gonzalez, that then on 75, another.
Are there existing, any of these?
These funeral homes are you referring to?
Yes.
Now there is one on page 75. He is still existing. He's Ronald Ritter, owner of the Hartfield Ritter Funeral Home. I believe he still has a funeral home. He's making restitution. He had to sell one of the funeral homes and he has one funeral home left. But I believe he's still in business.
And
he's having to move out of here.
But he never sells. He doesn't sell.
He doesn't sell it prepaid. No, correct. Again, that's on page 75 is a similar recap. I would like to show good results on page 76. Page 76, actually on Wayne Brown, if you notice, we also have what we call paid in full. He paid it all back.
Wow.
Yeah, it was unusual. But penalties and everything. So what that has moved from paying to paid in full, he has completed his all the money back. And then on page 77 is the bad news. As Stephanie alluded to earlier, if we're unsuccessful ultimately collecting and we have demanded,
mm-hmm.
we will forward it to the AG's office for collections, and sometimes they can't even collect. But they have a lot more authority to put liens on property than we don't. I remember one time 15 years ago, they put a lien on a mobile home on one of them to get it, but we don't have that authority.
Page 76,
okay.
Are these two separate ones?
76?
Mm-hmm. It's two companies.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That,
and then
that
what
bottom
the
one?
Balance due on the
LaPaz?
Zero?
There was no restitution owed.
Oh.
No one was harmed. All the money was there. It was a situation where basically the owners had some funeral homes in Mexico, some funeral homes in El Paso, and they were selling through an entity that didn't have a permit. So we had, this is just letting you all know about an enforcement action that we did. So there was a penalty, but no consumer.
Right,
sales.
For not having a permit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Gotcha.
All right. Anything else?
Related, okay, to the discussion of the club, I don't have anything else to add at this time.
Okay, then we have item H, discussion of future meeting dates.
I will take that. Normally we don't set dates at this time. I just kind of give you a heads up. Normal protocol, we try to meet twice a year if it's warranted and necessary. The last several years, we haven't had any claims to justify a meeting twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
We are having it, like I said, on an annual basis. And normally in sometime in November, a tentative meeting will be held if necessary or warranted. But I don't want to, you know, set that date for now. It's too far ahead, and we'll see. And usually a couple months out,
mm-hmm.
I will start, if it's necessary, contacting you for a possible meeting. And the only other thing I want to put, because the law did change, we do have the authority in the future to have what we call, in lieu of coming here, we can have video conference meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's something to consider. Previously, our IT, and we had some hiccups with our own, but it's been working pretty well, and it's something to consider.
Yeah,
it's just something to consider in the future, a
in lieu of coming down here for an hour and a half meeting, anyway.
We love having you be here.
We do love having you here.
Gets me out of the office.
But then you can come every time.
Yes, but that's just a food for thought, that, you know, we haven't had one before like that, but the statute was amended several years ago to allow if it's necessary. Okay?
Just one thing, in terms of the news item, we're seeing prepaid funeral contracts now in the neighborhood of 20,000.
What neighborhood are you living in?
That's like that in Dallas.
Dallas, Houston.
Yeah.
We got one for 22,685 the other day from Fort Worth.
Eight contracts.
Eight, one, same.
Well, and cremation's going up too.
But 20,000, is there a particular good or service that you're seeing? Cause that's.
It's gonna be the merchandise.
It's the merchandise.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody got them a solid bronze and a pretty high dollar vault.
Real expensive, vault was the.
Be a little more than a Monticello.
Better than a Monticello.
Cause I had heard through the industry, some of them are starting to charge a lot for buffets. I mean, that's becoming, and that, it's not cheap, and we're talking thousands of dollars of buffets that people don't want to, so, interesting.
Oklahoma, by the way, DHS, took their $10,000 limit off on the prepaid funeral contracts. So now in Oklahoma, there's no limit to a prepaid funeral contract, a guaranteed contract. Up there, they have unspecified contracts. There is a limit of like 22,000 up there on an unspecified contract. So the industry is growing.
So, you know, on the thing about guaranteed and non-guaranteed, what's the ratio of those now? Like what percent's in the guaranteed? Do you have any idea?
What's happening up there is people go into a nursing home on Medicaid and they're selling all these unspecified contracts because they can to protect those assets. So you're seeing a lot of $10,000 contracts. I assume now we'll see a lot of 20,000 contracts, and there's some funeral homes up there that won't guarantee. So, but the total relationship, Stephanie, I'm not sure. I would say probably 75% are still guaranteed, 25% not, would be my guess. That's about what we get, 75-25, no problem. But it's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing what they're going into a nursing home, what they'll do.
Yeah.
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 I mean,
you understand.
Got $25,000 because of that.
All right, I know you have another meeting to go to, don't you?
Any other business to be brought before the council?
Move for adjournment.
Is it second, boss?
I believe I'll
second. All in favor, say aye. Meeting's adjourned. Show at 2:15. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Wallace, I didn't want to go right. Just FYI.